All right, Chiefs fan, Vols Network play-by-play voice Bob Kessler joins us here on KCChiefs.com. Bob, before we get into what you've seen from Eric Berry on the field, just take us to the walk of them off field. Chiefs fans have seen this guy's incredible resume, you know, helping equipment guys in the locker room, shining helmets before games, the desire to go to dental school one day. Is this guy as good as advertised?
Well, you know, in this day and age where every single player has their entourage, his entourage is his family, which is kind of refreshing. And his family is very important to him. His dad, James Berry, who was a running back at Tennessee, was an excellent role model for him. And Eric wanted to follow in his footsteps and came to Tennessee and just was a tremendous leader on and off the field. You've heard a bunch of the stories, I'm sure, already about his leadership ability. But I don't even think that until you see him, until you're with him, until you watch him day by day, you really don't appreciate exactly what an outstanding young man this guy is. And if the Chiefs are looking for a guy to draft with character, they sure as heck got him.
We're going to all meet Eric for the first time this week. It's actually the Chiefs rookie camp will open here on Friday and last through Sunday. So we'll actually get to meet him in person, and we'll also get to see his play on the field. Part of that character you talked about there, it kind of shows he's chosen number 29 to wear here in Kansas City. He says it's in honor of a fallen teammate, Inky Johnson. Chiefs fans who aren't aware of Inky Johnson, he's a player who had a serious shoulder injury and has lost some movement of his arm, if I'm right there, Bob. Just talking about the relationship between not only those two, but of Eric and all of his football teammates down there as a whole.
Well, Inky was it was a tragic injury, just a hard hit, and he did some nerve damage to his neck and his shoulder, and he lost all use of his arm. Just because of that, Inky never missed practice. Then after he had used up his eligibility, then he stayed around as an assistant coach and never missed a practice and always had a smile on his face. And, Inky was a great story. Even when he was in the hospital bed, Coach Fulmer went to see him, and Coach Fulmer, while he was laying in bed, couldn't move his arm. Coach Fulmer said, "Inky, how you doing?" He said, "Coach, I'm blessed to be at a place like Tennessee and to have my teammates." So that's the inspiration that Inky was, and I said, as a matter of fact, I saw Inky on Saturday night, and I asked him about Eric taking his number, and you should have seen the smile on his face then. So they had a great bond, and it speaks volumes about of Eric, the fact that he would want to honor one of his teammates in that manner and wear it for his entire NFL career. So that's something special. But that's Eric Berry.
Bob Kessler, play-by-play voice of Tennessee football, joins us here on Chiefs Live. Bob, we've all heard about his versatility on the field here in Kansas City. We've seen his highlights, but game in and game out, I mean, you've seen every snap of this guy. What were some of the different roles that Monty Kiffin asked him to play while he was at Tennessee?
Well, one of the things he asked him to play was to support the run, which you don't see a guy that's Eric's size do that very often, but he's a ferocious hitter. There's a couple of legendary hits. One he laid on No'Shawn Marina of Georgia, knocked mm-hmm. him in his tracks, and there was another hit I'm sure you guys have seen when he hit Tim Tebow in the open field. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Tim Tebow doesn't fall, you know, backwards very often, but he fell backwards when Eric Berry hit him. And he's a ferocious hitter. He's fearless. And I think the one thing about Eric that you find out, he has instincts that you don't teach. I mean, he knows where to be. He knows where the ball is going to be. And because of the fact he was a quarterback when he's played in high school, he's got great ball skills. So when he does come up with an interception or picks up a loose fumble, he knows how to run with a football. And he knows he's looking to score every single time. So when you look at players a lot of times and you see them on tape for the first time, or you see them on the practice field for the first time, the great ones jump out at you. And we've had a bunch of great ones here at Tennessee, from the Jamal Lewis's to the Al Wilson's to the Peyton Manning's to Eric Berry. Those guys jump out at you, and Eric surely does that. And I think you'll see that when you see him on the practice field for the first time. And
definitely. You mentioned the hit of Tim Tebow. That's actually gotten a lot of a play here in Kansas City now that Tim Tebow is a Bronco. In fact, one of Eric's soon-to-be teammates, Cameron Sheffield out of Troy, had a big hit on Tim Tebow also. So Chiefs fans are a little pumped up that now we've got two defensive draftees that have knocked around a Denver Broncos quarterback at one time or another in their collegiate football careers. From a tackling standpoint, you said he had to play up against the run. Would you say that Eric's better if he's asked to come off a blitz, or is he just as good in read and react situations and filling that alley?
We Well, you know, he didn't blitz all that much at Tennessee. I'm sure he can do that. I don't think there's any problem with that. But he's such a sure tackler that usually they just had him come up and support the run and make plays at the line of scrimmage. And he did that. He was a perfect fit for Monty Kiffin's type style of defense. Guys that, you know, Monty liked the blitz and had that three-man front and a lot of different, gave you a lot of different looks. And you never knew where Eric was going to line up defensively. And I think the one thing about Eric, he knows the game plan so well. He's a very smart, intelligent guy. So he's going to study the game plan. And I think that's going to help him when he gets to the NFL because he'll be so versatile. And I think it's going to help him, too, because last year they played an NFL defense. You know, Monty Kiffin's defense with Tennessee. And so he knows kind of the defensive philosophy of the NFL. And I think that's going to help him a lot when he comes to the camp soon and then gets ready to play next year. So, I would think Eric Berry was a guy that you could play at safety or at corner or even bring him in as a souped-up linebacker a little bit with a lot of speed. So he's a ball player. I mean, you want to put a label, you want to put him in a box, but you can't really do that because he can do so many things and he is so versatile. And he's just a football player. That's all you could say. And they'll line him up, and I'm sure that the Chiefs' defensive staff will, every day at practice, they will see a different look. They can use Eric Berry. And the one thing that he's a leader, too. I mean, he leads. He's the first guy in the practice field. He's the last guy to leave. I mean, he was voted a captain as a sophomore. I mean, that doesn't happen very often in a school like Tennessee. So that shows you what his teammates think about him.
Bob Kessing, play-by-play voice of Tennessee football, joins us here on Chiefs Live. I'm interested, Bob, having played college football myself, how does a guy start 39 games and commit just one penalty at Tennessee?
Well, I think it goes back to he's a smart player, and I think he's been well coached. I think that the fact that he just knows when to pull up, he knows not to hold, he knows the things that he's supposed to do. You know, a lot of times he was playing safety. He was, the first 2 years, he was just kind of back there ball hawking. And then when Monty Kiffin asked him to come to the line of scrimmage and support the run, he just did his job. So he's just a very intelligent football player and just doesn't make many mistakes on the field.
Well, toughness-wise, what are the Chiefs getting in Berry from a toughness standpoint? How serious was that shoulder injury that he played through in 2008?
I don't think it's that, I think the fact he was out there every game showed you something about him. Mm-hmm. The fact that, he was playing in pain a lot in 2008. He got it fixed. And even in spring practice last year when he was supposed to not be on the field, not have any contact, they had to drag him out of drills. I mean, he wanted to be out there and wanted to be out there with his teammates. And he did everything except tackle last year in spring practice. And that really helped him learn Monty Kiffin's defense. I think he's as tough a guy as that Tennessee had on their team last year. I mean, he's a fearless hitter, and he's a ferocious tackler and wraps guys up and brings them down and is not afraid to hit anybody at any time. So I just think he's a very solid player.
So he can run, he can hit, he's smart, he's physical, he's a leader. Does this guy have any weaknesses, Bob?
Not that I know of. I mean, I'm not as serious. And I know it sounds like I'm glowing, and you think maybe I'm just pumping the guy up because he played here at Tennessee. But that's not the case at all. And I think that you talk to anybody that's been around him, that's gone with him to children's hospitals or has been with him when he's sitting there signing autographs or has been with him when they're little kids, after when everybody else is gone and the little kid's there and you see Eric Berry mess around with the kids. I mean, that's when true colors from guys come out. When you see him around his mom and his two little twin brothers, and when you see him, when you actually see him when nobody's watching, and you know that he's the same when nobody's watching as he is when the lights are on. That tells you the character of a young man. And Eric Berry is as quality a guy as Tennessee has had, and that's saying something. When you go back, because I mentioned a bunch of names before, but I mean, to throw Jason Witten in that lot and a bunch of other guys. I mean, we've had some really good players and good character guys come through here in the last several years, and Eric Berry, again, is right up there at the top of those guys.
Well, before Eric was drafted by the Chiefs, obviously on Thursday night, there was a lot of rumors that Washington was going to take him at number four or where he would end up going would he drop to maybe the Raiders at eight. Was Cleveland interested at seven? Where did you personally think that Eric might end up before the draft began on Thursday?
I thought he'd be five or higher because I think that he would have to have wowed GMs when they had their meetings with him. Mm-hmm. Mike Kiffin last year kept saying if he was picking, he would pick him number one overall. because he's such a dynamic football player and what he can do for your defense. And so obviously I think the Chiefs are looking for somebody who can make plays on defense and be a leader on defense. He seemed to be a perfect fit. I was not surprised that he went five. In fact, I thought he might have gone 4-3. But I guess those big defensive tackles, those guys are hard to conjure up too. The big ugly guys down low that move guys around and chase the passer, those guys are hard to find as well. But I think the Chiefs got a steal with Eric Berry at number five. I really do.
You know, Scott Peely said he was number one on their board all along, and there were some kind of smoke strings up there of some quotes through Peter King, through Thomas Dimitroff about Scott not necessarily wanting to take a safety that high, and obviously those were some of Scott's ways of diverting attention because Eric Berry was number one for the Chiefs this entire time. Bob, is there anything that you'd like to tell Chiefs fans specific about Eric, something they don't know, a specific story or moment that stuck out to you when you saw him grow and develop at Tennessee?
Well, you know, it's one of those things. I know that one thing that stood out to me, and Eric and I had a really good relationship when he was here. I covered his dad when he was playing at Tennessee, and so I saw Eric when he was just a little kid. So we always had a pretty special relationship. But I know that the night, his last game, and everybody kind of knew he was going to be not coming back for his senior season. And so I went to Eric and I said, Eric, and I know you're going to make this announcement after the game. It'd be awfully nice if you told the Tennessee fans on the radio first on our post-game show before you go to the press conference. I think that would be a nice touch. And he looked at me and said, you know, you're right. He said, I owe this to the fans. And so as soon as the game was over, and Tennessee lost the game, as a matter of fact, to Virginia Tech, so that was not a good moment in the locker room. As you well know, losing locker rooms are a lot of fun. Right. But we started our post-game show, and Eric, without being prodded, just walked right over to Tim Priest, who does our player interviews on the post-game show, and basically got on there and told the fans that he was leaving and how tough a decision it was because he loved playing at Tennessee. And he got emotional and started, most guys that are in Eric's position, all they're thinking about is the money and the fact that I'm going to get a chance to go to the NFL, fulfill this dream. But, I mean, the fact that he had such a great experience at Tennessee and loved his teammates and loved playing there, it was tough. Now, he knew it was time to go. Everybody knew it was time to go. Everybody knew that Eric knew it was time to go. But finally making that decision was a difficult moment for him because he knew he was turning the page and moving on with his life. But I always respect him for the fact that he did make a big production out of it. It was no big deal after the game. And, he wasn't thumping his chest because he knew a lot of his teammates who were, some of them playing their final game in Tennessee, and others that were coming back had lost that last game of the season, and that's never a good feeling. But he thought he owed it to the Tennessee fans to tell them first, and I will always respect him for that.
Yeah, it sounds like he's a class act. Bob Kessin, the play-by-play voice of Tennessee football, is with us here on Chiefs Live. I got one more for you, Bob, and this one isn't Eric Berry related. See, the Chiefs have kind of had a Tennessee pipeline. Eric is the fifth Chief drafted by the Chiefs in the last eight drafts since 2003. So I'm going to run over the four other players drafted by the Chiefs from Tennessee, and you tell me what you remember about them in college.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In 2008, it was tight end Brad Cottom in the third round that the Chiefs drafted. What do you remember about Brad?
Well, Brad was a guy, if he could have stayed healthy in college, he would have had monster numbers. He's another quality guy. You can't coach size, and Brad's got great size, and he's got great hands. And, I think the injuries in college really slowed down his development. He's probably maybe a year behind where he should be. So I think that Brad is in a position now where he's going to blossom this year. I think you're going to like him. The coaching staff, Coach Fulmer, loved him as a tight end, and you got to remember he was following Jason Witten, who was kind of setting the standard right now for tight ends. And so he learned from a good one, and I think he's going to get better and better as the season goes along, if he can stay healthy, and that's always been the knock on him.
Yeah, that's been the question with last year. His year ended early with an injured reserve with a neck injury, but he was actually making some great progress and had a lot of Chiefs fans excited. And now he's in full workout, so we hope to see more of Brad this season. 2007, the Chiefs draft Terpik Bryant, who's no longer with the Chiefs. I believe he's with the Lions now. That was the 54th overall selection of the draft. Talk about Turk a little bit.
Well, everybody kept telling us on the coaching staff that this guy was going to be a great NFL player. And I don't think any of the local media could see that. But it turned out he was a pretty good technician. He was a productive player, but you know, he wasn't one of those guys because of his size and everything. You didn't really, you know, view him as a John Henderson or an Albert Haynesworth or something. You're just a dominating player. But I think the fact he's a good technician, and he does play low, and he's getting a little better at those type of things. He came on as a senior, and I think that's the reason he got drafted, because he had such a productive senior year. But, you know, I think he's a good, solid player. I don't know if he'll ever be a great player, but he's good and solid.
Well, this next guy was drafted in 2005, and he's been in with the Chiefs for 5 years and owns all sorts of records. Punter Dustin Colquitt goes to the Chiefs in the third round, number 99 overall, and I guess his brother Britton Colquitt was a punter for the Vols as well.
Well, you know, he comes from a great family. His dad Craig was the great Super Bowl punter with the Steelers, and then there's been an uncle thrown in there. You know, Jimmy, it's kind of strange to be a Tennessean that's out of Colquitt out there punting on the field, because that's gone on for decades here. Apparently, there's a younger one coming along, and I guess Dustin's just had a son or one or two. So
right.
I think Coach Fulmer already offered them scholarships as soon as they came out. But no, Dustin was a very hard worker, and of course, you would just marvel. Sometimes they hang those high booming spirals, and he comes from good stock, and I know that his dad is constantly in touch with him, trying to make sure his technique is just so. Dustin is one of those guys that works at it, and I think that he'll be, by the time he's done, he'll be in the same sense probably with Gerald Wilson there in Kansas City, one of the all time greats in Chiefs history, I'm sure.
Chiefs fans are always loving Dustin Colquitt, and you mentioned the things with Eric Berry and what he brings to the table. Dustin is one of the most active guys in the community off the field here in Kansas City. Just a great guy to represent Tennessee and represent the Chiefs out in the community. 2003, this player didn't do much with the Chiefs. Cornerback Julian Battle, he was a third-round pick of the Chiefs, and he's the final of the five choices, including Eric Berry, that have been drafted in the last 8 years. What do you remember about Julian?
Well, I think Julian Battle, most people thought he would be a very good pro, and I think everybody was a little bit surprised that it didn't really work very well for him in Kansas City. I mean, he had the size and some of the things you look for. I think consistency was one of the deals always with Julian, I don't know. I think everybody was kind of surprised he wasn't more productive there in Kansas City, but hopefully he can get things turned around a little bit, and we'll see. And you haven't mentioned Dale Carter yet. And I know Chiefs fans remember Dale Carter.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if Eric Berry, you know, Dale had that electrifying ability. I mean, he would do things that you would just go, wow. Eric Berry is a great football player. I don't think he has that electrifying wow factor, but he will do things that you'll think, that's a very good football player out there. So Carter was maybe the best athlete that Tennessee has ever had. I mean, he was a guy that you just, his conditioning and how much he could run and what he could do returning punts and all those type things. I mean, he was hit with one of those wands, and kind of the same wand Eric Berry has been hit with too.
No doubt. Bob, thanks for joining us here on Chiefs Live. We look forward to seeing what Eric Berry can do in a new era of Chiefs football. And I guess kind of in your boat, at Derek Dooley, and it's kind of a new era of volunteer football down there.
Yeah, it is, and I think we're all excited about Derek from the fact that he comes from pretty good lineage himself, with his dad, Vince Dooley, being a great coach in the SEC, and having Derek back here. He set a pretty good foundation in spring practice, and so we hope he builds on that. But we wish Eric Berry a lot of luck in Kansas City, and I think you guys are going to be just as impressed with Eric off the field and what he does in the Kansas City community as you are on the field, because he's a very special young man.
All right, Bob, appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks a lot.